Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Starting Five Podcast on SB Nation Greasy Bread Blues. I am the One P Shark.
I am at underscore Scarlito on Twitter as always, but I got my John Morant type confidence with me today. So I hope y'all ready.
This is your guy Trevor rocking not rocking much of anything, but report from Dillenburg's Island, rocking my Gucci shades as always. What's good?
Yep, what's good? What's good, man? We're missing two members of the starting five. Tell Shakir out, you know, doing his little DJing duties. And I got It's Really Sheedy. It's out again as well. But as y'all know, we always have reinforcements, replacements, trying to do a little 4-on-4 action with my guy, former high school teammate of mine, actually, and my guy, Chris Ingram, man. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good, bro. I'm good, man. Big fan of the podcast. I've been listening to y'all for a minute. So, you know, it's a pleasure for y'all having me on. And then, you know, also, you know, being old teammates with you and then being classmates as well with Skylar, you know, we know each other a little bit. So it's just cool getting on here, kicking it, you know, talking about the Grizzlies. So, like I said, I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right, for sure, for sure. I always like your texts on Twitter. And, of course, like you're also a contributor for the Grizzlies. So, man, it's always good, man. Glad to get you on. And as we always do with guests, we always start off with a couple questions, Q&A, kind of get a feel for you. So for first question is, how long have you been a Grizzlies fan?
Man, since they got to Memphis. I remember it was that first season, you know, Pau Gasol, his rookie of the year season. We got, I think my dad worked for FedEx at the time, so I think they had some kind of thing he won. He got some tickets to sit low. I know they weren't in the forum yet, but he got some tickets. It's like sit. They was almost like on the court. They wasn't right there at the court, but they was all close. And you know, me, I think I was maybe 9 at the time, maybe 10, and just seeing them dudes, you know, 7-footers running up and down the court. I'm like, bro, this is crazy. I knew what basketball was, but like seeing it up close for the first time was crazy for me. So I just naturally, you know, just was attracted to them. And I ended up watching, you know, they switched it to Bally now, but I was watching Fox Sports out every single night the day was on. And, you know, just I think at the time my favorite player was Mike Miller with during that run. And from there, just kind of transitioned, you know, every step of the way they've been going, man, just been following them nonstop. You know, me and my homeboys, we done had some serious conversations and arguments about the Grizzlies, you know, back in the grit and grind days. And even after that, you know, going into 2017, 2018, we kind of, you know, it was off around that time, but I stayed put, bro. Like I just, you know, I never gave up on him because it's home team, you know, it's like Tennessee Titans fans, like you live with them, you die with them, but at the end of the day, you know, you're never going to give up on them. So to see where we at now, it feel pretty damn good. I say that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I'm a Titans fan. Living and dying with same as Grizz, it's good to be a Titans fan. Being consistently good, although we ain't won a championship, is perfectly fine. You also said Fox Sports South, definitely very missed.
Man, that Bally app is trash.
Boy.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm not messing up sponsorship dollars for y'all.
Oh, you good. Nah, you good.
It's you good, today. It makes me feel great that I don't have to put up with it. Even though I'm like, you know what? I got NBA League Pass. I can't watch the Grizzlies. I can find another way. And that way is better than watching on the belly app. I can tell you that right now.
Chris, I don't know too many things that's more trash than the belly sports app.
It don't matter what Wi-Fi you got. It don't matter what device you on. It don't matter what time of the day you watch it. It's trash.
Every single time. Every single time. It's consistently trash.
Terrible. Well, next question is how did you get into writing?
So, funny story, like writing been a passion of mine for a long time, right? I went to John P. Freeman middle school, it's an optional school out in Whitehaven, and you know, they were advanced with a lot of things, and we did a lot of writing programs and things like that, and I did really good in them. And you know, I started like branching out into different like writing competitions and stuff like that throughout high school. People didn't even know, like, I was just entering into them, and won first place a lot of them. I got plaques and stuff that I, you know, they're sitting in the closet now for it, but like just really never knew how to navigate, you know, into that, because obviously, like, us coming, you know, we were teammates, we played football growing up, so my whole focus at that time was trying to play college football. And, you know, a lot of us was like, all right, well, if I can't, you know, go to the league, maybe I'll stay in some type of sports field, or whether it's, you know, sports medicine or something like that. Thinking back on it, if I can go back, I probably would try to just focus in some type of like sports journalism or journalism, period. Just because, like, I can write, it's almost therapeutic. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a poet or nothing like that, but just putting, you know, pen to pad, writing about stuff, that's been cool for me. So, you know, I've been on all type of like forums and stuff like that, and got picked up by the Grizzlies. And, you know, it was pretty cool for me, because I was like, for me to, you know, put my passion of writing into my passion of the Grizzlies, like, I'm ride or die with them. Like, I may not agree with everything they do. And, you know, we may go through some rough times, but being able to kind of document my thoughts, my opinions, and how I feel about it, I was like, bro, that's the perfect marriage. So when it, you know, when it was presented to me, I was like, I'm all about it. So been doing that for a couple months now, and, you know, I'm just ready to see where it's going to take me. You know, I've been looking at, like I said, watching y'all, listening to y'all for a minute, and just, you know, some of the OGs in Memphis, kind of seeing what they do. Shout out to Anthony Sane. Some of them just kind of the head of that. For us coming behind them, you know, just kind of, you know, excited to see where it's going to take me. So I just, you know, was appreciative for that opportunity. And, you know, shout out to you. You know, I see what you're doing with SBN, you know, with Joe writing. Like, you've been pumping them out, bro. Like, I got to get on my grind. For real, for real. You letting them things go. For real.
Yeah, gone get on some league action. Gone getting the recaps in, man. But yeah, it's been fun. That last game was tough. All them brick threes, no fault. Both teams are combined 2 for 4, 3 at one point. Like, I'm telling you now.
That was tough to watch, man. I swear. Boy, I was like, oof.
I was sitting here yawning. I'm like, bro, how am I gonna finish this? man. But next question is, what advice would you give to someone who's aspiring to write? Someone who's younger, who's coming up, and they're looking to become a writer?
Just practice. You know, I got a lot of practice on purpose and on accident. I don't know if I should say this on live, but it don't matter. I wrote papers for people for money in college. Like, that's how crazy my writing background is. Like, you know, that's, it just is what it is. You know, I've helped people pass their college courses. So for anybody, like, just practice. Like, I got a lot of practice. I think I was maybe, I don't know, 13, 14 in the Grizzly fanboys, bro. Like, people was thinking I was a grown man arguing with me. It was the funniest thing in the world. And so, like, stuff like that, you can practice, put yourself in some type of programs. But, you know, then at the same time, whatever you, you know, passionate about writing about, like, make sure you just, you know, are locked into that. Like, the Grizzlies is easy for me because, like, I don't miss one game. Me and my wife have gotten to arguments because I don't miss a Grizzly game. Like, they come on every single night on the Bally app now. You know, I'm watching it. So whatever your passion is, whatever your lane is, like, just make sure that you putting the time in to learn about it, and the thoughts will flow, you know. But yeah, that's the advice that I would give them for sure.
I need some advice on how you and the wife are able to have those conversations. You get to watch every Grizzlies game. Like, that's the advice that I need. Because whatever you're saying to your wife that she's allowing you to watch every Grizzlies game, I need that. Because Milwaukee.
Yeah, maybe
we can talk about that offline.
Hey, I give you one.
Join the League Pass Club where you can watch it on different avenues. So I got a phone, I got a laptop. So there are different ways.
If only it was simple. Only it was that simple.
Ja Morant helps. I'll just say that.
Okay, gotcha. I can't wait to talk about that
one. Hey, I gotta say is I'm blessed because my wife, she watches games with me. She wants to go every single any guy I go get tickets to. She's like, oh, I'm coming. But even yesterday, when Ja Morant made the little statement about cooking MJ, she was supposed to be asleep. She was half asleep. As soon as she heard that coming, she woke up like, I know he didn't just say that. I was like, bro, I thought you were asleep. Bro, I was tripping.
She was like, red flag.
Right. You're like, what? But, man, last question. We always ask this all, I guess. If you had to get an all-time grid starting five, which all-time starting five be?
Ja Morant. Oh, I heard y'all clarify this question before, so I ain't gonna ask that. Ja Morant, OJ Mayo, Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, and just to be stupid, I'm just gonna say Stromal Swift. Obviously, I want Marc Gasol is my favorite. I'm gonna throw Stromal in there just
because. All right. I like that we get some different varieties with these. Yeah. I really do.
Could you imagine a Ja Morant to like Stromal Swift law, man? Stromal coming from the top of the nosebleed to go grab that and dunking it with ease.
Right.
Cold, man. Then such a shame, man. OJ Mayo had such a great, his first 2 years was so great. Then after that, I'm like, what happened?
Lionel Hollis and Chris Wallace ruined him trying to make him a point guard. That's what happened.
Yeah. And Tony Allen got into it, and we all know the rest. But moving on to some grid topics, y'all know free agency. Last time we recorded, I think it was right after the draft. So since then, free agency has started. Grizzlies done what they've done the last 3 years, pretty much just retained their own guys. They haven't made any trades yet, but they did extend Ja. He got as much deserved extension, Ricky Max extension, and he didn't get a player option last year. He got a full five-year max extension, no player option. So it looks like that's good. We extended Jitty, John Conchar, 3 years, 19 mil. I don't know. What y'all think about that? $19 million ain't nothing for 3 years. I don't know why people had a big deal, but what's y'all thoughts on that?
That signing in particular, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal at all, man. It's like, he got his extension, and now you're looking for him to possibly give you the same production that you got or lack thereof in the playoffs from De'Anthony Melton. So, I mean, it is what it is. To give him that much, it was not that bad.
Yeah, I think it's a contract. Like, if he performs well, if he outperforms it, hell, you got him for 3 years, $19 million. If he doesn't do well, it's like, okay, cool. That's $16 million. I can write that off somewhere. Yeah, it's not. It's either way you like. It's whatever.
Yeah, it's very, very low cost for a solid contributor. Anytime he gets on the court, he's going to do something on the court. So, then also we resigned Tyus Jones. So, those are the moves they made so far. Danny Green was sitting courtside with Ja Morant and them last night in Summer League. I don't know what to take of that. Is he going to stay on the roster? Is he not? I know he's out for a long time anyways. But I guess, Chris, what are your thoughts about the lack of free agency moves so far?
I mean, I didn't mind bringing Tyus back. We had a round table before free agency kicked off. And what I wanted to see the Grizzlies do, the holes that I feel like they needed to get was some type of combo guard behind Ja. That was a legit 1-2. Definitely wanted to get some type of like athletic big to rebound coming off the bench, or if he was starting caliber, and then shot creation. That was my three that I felt like watching the playoffs the last 2 years that we needed. And so to kind of see us not really address those in a sense, I was kind of iffy. But I will say, like, before free agency started, I was like, if we run it back how it is, I'll be okay. with us sending off, and I may be jumping, you know, ahead, but us sending off and, you know, getting all these rookies, we sent off Melton, we didn't bring back Kyle. I know that was going to happen. The Brighton was on the wall with that, but it was some quality pieces that I feel like we could have, like, just marginal pieces added to the team to address those needs that we didn't do, and that's kind of the frustrating part for me. So I say kind of, you know, the trade stuff for a little later maybe, but or the draft stuff, but, like, just those holes I felt like we could have really filled with other teams getting better or staying the same, getting healthy. That was my issue.
Yeah, I was so ready for a draft night trade up to get Jaden Duren. I was disappointed when it happened, but
we all were waiting on it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I sure was waiting on it. I was like, Memphis moves up to 13 because I just knew they was gonna do a deal with Charlotte to move up to take Jaylen Duren, but
right
didn't happen.
Another piece I wanted, I did. Now seeing what Malcolm Brogdon actually got traded for, that's really who I thought was a perfect combo guard to come off the bench behind Ja, who could start with him, who could play with him, who could.
I honestly think if we didn't sign Tyus, that was my target in the market for a backup point guard, at least a combo guard that can play, that can run point, that can also play next to Ja and play off the ball as well. That was my guy. I've been saying Malcolm Brogdon probably since during the season. I'm like, if we don't resign Tyus Jones, Malcolm Brogdon needs to be the guy we go after. But, you know,
I'm gonna tell you who I wanted, and it's not a possibility no more because we got Tyus back. But I really, really, really wanted us to go out there and get Colin Sexton. I really did. I just feel like that dog next to, like, him and Ja, oh my god, bro, that's two big boys. It's crazy, but you know, it is what it is.
I want to know is the price tag because it's still a possibility. He doesn't have a market right now.
I think they extended the qualifying offer for like some crazy, like maybe nine a year or something like that. We could have easily gave him that 15 to 20, you know, and been no problem.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He doesn't have a market right now. But anywho.
Yeah. I don't know what's the reputation going on around the league around him, but for every reason, like, he's going to be back in Cleveland, what it's looking like. But I think as me and Chris, we talked a little bit before the podcast, I think because of the KD's trade, I think everything's kind of on hold right now. Any potential trade moves like OG Anunoby, who else we might be looking for? Miles Turner, like those type of players, I think is all on kind of to KD straight.
Turner might be on the move though.
For that's DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, he might be on the move.
I thought they too when they
and to be honest, the reason everything's kind of at a stalemate right now is because the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, trade for Rudy Gobert.
Giving a 4 unprotected first for Rudy Gobert. So yeah. That's why everything's at a standstill.
They gave heaven and earth to get Rudy Gobert. Jesus Christ.
You know what? They had the advantage of us in their first round. They don't no more. Like, Steven Adams can actually stay on the court now against Rudy Gobert. Like, that helps us against them. Oh, man. But moving forward, I guess, since we didn't have any free agent signings, Summer League, we've seen the rookies. We've seen sophomores, Tremont Waters. I mean, it seemed like every archer out the road, he's been doing something in these games, kind of killing it. But what are your thoughts? I guess we go in order of the rookies. Jake LaRavier, what's your thoughts? I guess in order, Chris Skyler, then Trail, what's your thoughts about Jake LaRavier?
Jake, I like. I didn't know. I was iffy about moving up, you know, those three spots in the draft to get him because, you know, mocks and stuff like that. But moving up three spots, that's okay. Like, dude, I think he's got, you know, a high floor. Maybe not, you know, all-star player or nothing like that, but he give me Mike Miller vibes a lot. You know, just his attitude, even down to the way that he jogged down the court. Like, it's kind of freaky to watch that. But I think, you know, he showed a lot in Utah. Not so much. It's been iffy for everybody going to Vegas. I don't know if they turn up every night gambling. I don't know what they're doing. But, you know, he showed still those flashes, and that's my early, like, off-season pick to kind of step into that four role while Jaren is out coming to the year. Obviously, you know, barring what happens in the rest of the off-season and going into training camp, but definitely like what I've seen from him so far.
Yeah, same here. I kind of feel like he's one of those shooters that, you know, if it's a wide-open three, that's a layup for him. The Grizzlies talked about, Zach Lyman mentioned that, you know, their focus was to get shooters. And it seemed like they got that in Laravia. It seemed like they got it there with several different players that they drafted. Again, I'm still not a fan. I mean, I guess I'll come around to it here pretty soon, but I just was not a big fan of, you know, drafting that many players. I just kind of felt like, you know, maybe you trade one of those picks to go get a veteran guy or somebody like that. But, you know, it is what it is. And so, I mean, I honestly like what I've seen. I've seen, like, you know, I like the addition of Chandler. I'm pretty sure we'll talk about him pretty soon. But as far as Laravia is concerned, he can shoot the ball. And I think, you know, if he continues to get some reps, if he continues to see, like, real NBA minutes, I think there could be some instances where he may, you know, be on the end of a late game in the fourth quarter right alongside Ja and Desmond Bane.
Yeah, Laravia looks like the type that the Grizzlies are probably going to look to step out on the court really quickly. And with Jaren being out for quite some time, there is an opening at the four spot. Him being out there just automatically gives you some extra space. And he's already shown in Salt Lake City in Utah Summer League and a little bit in Vegas. But, of course, what Chris says, well, I don't know what the Grizzlies are doing in Vegas right now. But he's showing the capability to knock down a three. But he also has another thing about that. He has a decent IQ as well. So he knows exactly what to do. He knows his role. He's going to go out there and do it. He's not going to try to play outside of himself. And if he is able to make the rotation, he's going to get a lot of open threes. And him wide open for three is pretty much a layup at this point from based on what we've seen. So I like the pick. Similar to what I said about Zaire, I think he probably could have been available if the Grizzlies would have stayed put instead of going up to get him. But the front office hasn't been wrong yet, so I'm not going to question them just yet.
Yep, that's the tough part about the front office. Like, you, same thing with Zaire. It's like, man, we could have got him at 17, right? They look at it and say, hey, we want him. We're going to go on here, trade up and get him. So I can't fault it. If they turn out to be pretty good, like Zaire has, and so far, Jake Laravia, I'm fine with it. I really do. I like his poise. Even when his shot is off, he does other things, and he doesn't force it. Like, I think the second Utah game, he was 0-for-3 from three. He didn't keep jacking threes. He wanted Dylan Brooks out there. He said, you know what? I ain't got it. I'm about to play some defense. I'm about to get some boards. Like, I really do, like, appreciate that. He does, like, he's very mature, and he doesn't, like, try and play outside of his limits and everything. So I really do appreciate that. Next player of the first round draft pick, David Roddy. What y'all think about him? Same order.
I'll say I like Roddy. I'm cool with the pick of Roddy. I hate the Melton trade because they traded to 23 and got Roddy. Like, if they would have got him in the second round, I would have been perfectly fine with it. And it's not even about, like, his showing at Summer League. Like, he hasn't really, like, wowed me yet outside of just seeing how physically, like, just big of a person he is out there on the court. And, you know, Summer League is Summer League. You know, he'll get in, you know, through training camp and, you know, get back to, like, his production, I would think. Maybe not as close as he was in college, but just being a lot better of a shooter that we saw, you know, in college, he can't bust a great right now in Summer League. Like, to have the shooting percentage that he did, and for the Grizzlies to come out and say, like, we grab these shooters with these percentages and stuff like that. And that's really all of them. Like, Laravia's the only one that I've seen, like, I'm like, okay, just his shooting form, his mechanics, stuff like that I'm looking at, that's a shooter. I like Roddy's form, but like I said, it's just he haven't had a good shooting performance yet. Maybe, you know, defensively he'll help us in the playoffs and stuff like that. But that was my biggest thing. I just really didn't like the fact that they traded Melton and that we don't really have a backup to get Roddy, you know, especially when Beauchamp and Jaden Hardy was just, like, right there on a plate to take. But it is what it is.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we'll break down... We break down who will be cutting... Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are... It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah, I honestly don't have too much of an opinion on him. I haven't seen anything from him that's to what Chris said. Nothing that's wowed me, but I also haven't seen anything that's like, I don't know. I haven't seen that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, to what Trevor said, and I, you know, I keep saying this, Grizzlies runoffers ain't missed on much. So, you know, I'm kind of in the boat. I'm putting them in the same boat as I do as Penny Hardaway to try to tie in the Tigers and the Grizzlies in the terms of Penny Hardaway, for the most part, has not done much to, you know, he's done a lot in order to put a really good roster together. So has the Grizzlies. And so I feel like, for the most part, they haven't missed on many of their picks. They haven't missed on too many of the, like, what were y'all thinking when y'all did this? And they end up making us look crazy. So I haven't seen too much from him, but at the end of the day, you know, I like his size. I like how physical I think he is and can be. I'm not one of those people that's going to put so much dog into summer league. So he has plenty of time to, you know, to try to work on his game, work on his shot.
Yeah, I would pretty much echo the same sentiments here. I haven't seen too much from David Roddy to really judge him in the shape or form as we would probably do the others. But there is something there. Obviously, again, because with this front office, they obviously saw something in him, so much so to give up De'Anthony Melton to go after him. So, again, not going to question the front office here. I do would like to see him, at least for summer league, just see him on the ball just a tad bit more just to see what he can do. I mean, he's 6'5". He's a real stocky dude at 6'5". He played all five positions at Colorado State. So, primarily, the ball was in his hands in some shape or form or fashion. So, for these last couple of games in summer league, just want to see how he is on the ball for a little bit. So that's my only thing, but I'm pretty sure he'll get it together at some point. He's gonna find his spot in the league. He's gonna find a spot potentially in the rotation down the line. So, but again, not gonna question the front office here.
Yeah, I think the main thing with Roddy is the times I have seen him on the ball, he has made plays. Like he seems like a pretty decent playmaker. I don't really, his shot has been off. I think everything else he's done just fine. His defense has been pretty decent. That was one of the things we didn't know if he was pretty good. We didn't know how good he would be on defense. Especially with him and Tremont Waters, when they play together, like they always spark some type of run. He gets out in transition. He uses his body when he drives to the lane to shield off defenders to hit the layups and shots. So I think, like Chris said, trading Anthony Melton and getting him, that's the one. Is like, although you know how we all felt about Melton in the playoffs, it's still like, dang, like that's what we got back for him. But, and also I think the position thing, all these players play the same position pretty much. Like Roddy is a 3/4, and Jake LaRavia 3/4, Trent Williams 3/4, Kenan Lofton 3/4. It's like five. It's at some point you need a guard.
We Toronto Raptors around this thing.
Right. Right. Literally. You just need wings for days, man. But anyway, another thing I've thought about with that thing is, since Dylan Brooks is still on the roster, technically Dylan Brooks can be a shooting guard, so you can revert him to shooting guard in different spots, and you take Bane out and bring in Zaire. So it's different things I think that they probably plan to do until they actually decide to trade Dylan, if he gets traded. So at this point, but moving forward to the next draft pick, Kennedy Chandler. I guess we'll go. We just go reverse order. Start with me. Kennedy's defense, man. That, and you know, me and Trevor are UT fans, and I knew how good he was in college. But like, golly, his defense is just on locks. Like, same thing. He hasn't really shot well. He's had times where he's had inconsistency on offense with turnovers and stuff. But I tell you, on defense, he got clamps. He got blocks. I mean, and when you look at his stat sheet, he has something. It's like 8, 4, 3, 4, and 3. It's like, it's something. His stat sheets always like scream out like he's doing something on the court, even if his shot is off, even if his offensive game isn't going. So I think we all love the pick, especially we got him in the steal. He was supposed to be a first round draft pick, and we got him in the second. So, loving the Kennedy Chandler pick, loving they brought Tyus back, because I don't think Kennedy is ready to be a backup point guard just yet, but he's definitely on his way.
Yeah, Kennedy definitely has that dog in him, as Sharky and I, you know, definitely seen from his one season at UT. But I've noticed from the time that I watch him, he's still got some time, still got some developing to do. Looks like he needs to adjust a little bit to the speed of the NBA, which is why he looks a little bit out of control at times on the offensive side of the ball. That's going to come when he spends his time in South Haven and eventually develops and possibly into the backup point guard for the Grizzlies. But again, it was a steal for us to get him in the second round with a trade with San Antonio. I'm excited to see him play for the Hustle, or if by good chance, if he develops well, he may even suit up for the Grizzlies sometime this upcoming season. So it's there. He's got a dog in him. He has a place in the league. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, again, same with Roddy. Same with Roddy in terms of he's going to get better. I just think that he's going to get better because, one, if you look at, you know, how close he and Jai is, I think Ja will be able to teach him, mentor him, you know, let him, you know, figure out, you know, his way around how to run point guard, you know, how to pick your spots and things like that. So I'm not worried about him right now on the offensive end. Granted, he's not been that great, but it'll come to him. But defensively, to what you said, Sharky, already, the man got clamps. And for that part, I think that's what's going to allow him to get in the league and stay in the league. Because if nothing else, there's a lot of these teams have really, really good point guards. And sometimes you need somebody to, you know, you need to be able to throw a point guard out there to be able to guard the opposing team's point guard. So he has defense for days. I'm not worried about that. I'm excited that the Grizzlies got him. We'll see exactly, you know, where he is in the next 2 to 3 years, but I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I'm with y'all 100%. You know, it's at 38, you get a player that was, I mean, I think when the season really, the tournament first ended, I think a lot of mock drafts had dude going like 17, 18, 19. So to get him 20, you know, spots later, like y'all said, was crazy. And him being at home in Memphis with his family, where he from, the job relationship, all that stuff, I think is going to combine it, like just make him work harder. He ain't going to have a lot of distractions because he got, I mean, he home. You know what I'm saying? It's where he from. And then having, you know, a top five point guard right there, like learn from. I know I'm repeating a lot of what y'all said, but like that's, you know, 2 to 3 years down the line. I don't know if I see him, you know, as like a starting point guard in the league later on, but this is the perfect situation for him to sit behind Ja. You know, even if he made a 10, 11, 12 year career, I mean, it's perfect for him. So like y'all said, full quarter, it seemed like a game breaker go off in his head and he on clamps, he running. And I'm really surprised at his athleticism. I'm not going to lie. Like, he looks physically a lot smaller than everybody on that court. Like, he don't even look like he's an NBA player when you, it's like size-wise. But that still, he got the, I think it was last night, and then he took off almost like right after the free throw line. And like, it's like somebody like threw him up in the air to dunk. I'm like, bro, where is coming from? So, like, that's really exciting to see. And, you know, I'm rooting for anybody from Memphis. So, yeah, definitely glad to see him here and excited to see, you know, what comes with his career here.
Yeah, it's a shame, man, because if Kennedy Chandler was like 6'4", 6'5", bro, is in the lottery. Like, he slipped in the draft just for the simple fact that he's maybe 6 feet. That's just sad. But
that's being nice.
yeah, I'm being nice by saying maybe 6 feet. So yeah. It is what it is. But, again, I'm excited to see him, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, for sure. He reminds me of a shorter, which is crazy because he's short too. Eric Bledsoe is kind of like who you remind me of, kind of like how Eric Bledsoe was when he first came in the league. Smaller because, you know, Eric Bledsoe always just had their body, but same thing, athleticism, got the quickness, get to the rim, defense. Like, Eric Bledsoe really used to do kind of like all the same things. But last pick, Trent Williams. After the first game, I don't know. I really ain't seen much of him. Have y'all seen much?
I'll be honest with you. Vince Williams hasn't made a jumper since the first game against in the Utah Summer League. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I mean, he has a good feel for the game. He doesn't look lost out there. I can definitely say that much about him. I don't see him on the rotation anytime soon. I definitely will be seeing him in South Haven in some form or fashion. But again, the Grizzlies see something in him. I mean, he can shoot. He shot the ball pretty well at VCU, so it remains to be seen. I really don't have much to say on Vince Williams right now. He hasn't really wowed me as much as I thought he would have, but again, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, poor Vince Williams had made a shot since about, what, a week ago? But again, I'm just, again, it's summer league, it's early. I think he'll be able to shoot the ball. He looked well when he was making it, and he still looks well now, even as he's missing the shot. So, I mean, we'll see. I just think about it to what you said, Sharky. You know, they have all these, like, 6'8 guards or wings. They gonna hit on somebody, damn it. out of all these wings and four, damn it, they gonna hit on somebody. So as long as it's on their roster and they hit while they're on the Grizzlies roster, I'm okay with it. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, I was sitting there laughing when he was talking, because I like really honed in to what your name just said. Yeah, I much rather give those minutes to Vince than the guy that should not be said, but your name says. So
we're gonna talk about him.
Yeah,
well, yeah, we're gonna get to him in a sec.
That's all I got.
Ah, man, but before we get to the sophomores, the undrafted rookie, Kenneth Lofton Jr. What are y'all thoughts about that man right there? I could be the start of some league so far. What are y'all thoughts about him? We can start with Chris, Skyler, Trevor.
I'm gonna get me a Kenneth Lofton jersey. I'll just say that. I tweeted last night that is officially my second favorite player on this team as a whole. And I'm rooting for dude. Like, talent wise, I'm not gonna get ahead of myself and compare him to the guy, but you know, it's just things you can see. Like, the dude has skill. Like, he's a skilled basketball player, and that's all that matters to me. Like, he can go to any gym, just like Ja. Like, you can pick up a ball and go to any court, and that dude gonna hoop. And that's what I like watching, you know, Kenneth Lofton. Like, he got it, and he's a methodical, he's a smart player, he's a thinker when he out there on the court. He's not just out there just doing crazy stuff. So for us to have, you know, I don't like to throw that title on him just because I want him to grow into his own self, but to literally have Z-Bo 2.0 possibly undrafted, dude get in some better shape than what he already is now, because, I mean, he didn't lost a lot of weight already, but he going to be a problem. I ain't never seen a big dude move that fast. I have not. So I'm happy for that pickup, and they need to go ahead and convert that two-way right now, for sure.
Sorry, I'm going to bring up a term that you'll laugh at, and I'm pretty sure another listener, when he hears it, he'll start to laugh. But block work comes to mind. And God, Kenneth Lofton Jr., he has some block work. I love me a big man that knows what to do when he's in the post, that, you know, that takes his time, that know, you know, that let everybody clear out. Let me do me. This is my type of show type big man. I'm cool with that. That's what Kenneth Lofton is. You know, amazing story. Again, one of those guys that, you know, if you're in the gym and there's 30 guys in there, you probably don't pick him to be 100 with you, based off his size. But dang it, if you pick him up and you give him the ball, he can ball. And so I'm excited for him. It's a great story. To what you already said, Chris, like, that two-way don't even need to be a two-way no more. Like, go ahead and give a man what he needs, so that way, you know, he can feel more comfortable with himself. Grizzlies team, work with him, get him in some shape. But I think he can get some buckets, and I'm excited to see him.
Hey, that block where is a lost art in the NBA, man. I sure do miss it, man. But you guys hit the nail on the head. There's really nothing much else to say about Kenneth Lofton Jr., man. The guy is a bucket, plain and simple. Now, I had the opportunity to watch him a little bit at Louisiana Tech during the NIT when Memphis was making their run at the NIT, because Louisiana Tech was in the NIT as well. So I kind of got an idea, but was not expecting it to translate to the NBA like it has at this level. And again, that two-way needs to be a full contract. He needs to be on – if you just got to park him on the end of the bench, it is what it is. How he came out against Oklahoma City and went at Chet Holmgren was enough for me. Bro went at him four straight possessions and scored four straight times like it was no problem.
Oh, no, he put Chet Holmgren underneath the basket every time.
Every time.
I thought it was funny, honestly.
Same here.
Hey, all I got to say is all Zach Kleiman need to do is when they all get back to Memphis, just roll the ball out in the gym and line up Tilly, Tillman, Aldama, and everybody else that want it, and let him give them work. And if he do, which I know he will, man.
Yeah, that's exactly all the players you're named. That's exactly all the spots he's taking. Cause man, he get the ball. He know what he's doing with it. It's just like, man, dribble, spin, go, like step back three. Like it's like, bro, I'm like, man, this is wild.
And it's not even just that he has the block work. Like he can actually put the ball on the floor, like facing up, dribbling from the perimeter. That's another thing that people don't rave about. And he's a pretty decent 3-point shooter as well. So it's crazy.
Doesn't even get in shape to be able to play defense on the NBA level, because once you actually get to the actual NBA, I think that's what teams probably going to try to expose him on defense. But, hey, his offense is, to me, well worth it to development. He's only 19. He's definitely worth it. I'm glad. That was a great signing. Zach Cliver, man, I don't know where you'd be finding these folks, but he did it. So let's move to the sophomores that are kind of disappointing. Let's go ahead and start with Trevor's name, Santi Al, brother. This guy stinks. that's what his name is.
I'm not gonna even try to play the SpongeBob clip with where I got this this name from, so I'm just gonna leave it at that. But I don't know, man. Santi Aldama just isn't it for me, man. I literally watched, and I'm not sure if it was the Minnesota game or the Clippers game when they got to Vegas. I literally watched him turn the ball over 4 possessions in a row.
Clippers.
And 2 of the possessions, he's trying to make some crazy skip pass that had no business being passed. And he's throwing it from one side of the wing. He's throwing it all the way nearly out the door. Granted, he played better last night. I mean, he did have 22 points, 8 rebounds in the Grizzlies win.
On your Dylan Brooks shot attempts, 22 attempts.
Hey, the Dylan Brooks special apparently, but hey.
He shot 50% though. He doesn't get the
ball. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but I don't know, man. I just don't see it with him. Like, maybe he's living off the hype of that one play he had during the season when he actually got some time for the Grizzlies, but it's nothing. I'm not impressed at all, man. So I wouldn't be surprised if down the line he's moved on somewhere else, man. I'm just going to be honest with you.
All right, Trevor, you was too nice.
No, I'm letting y'all unleash on him. That's about the best as I can do. So
especially for his name, since he the one actually has the name.
I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna just keep it short. I don't think he has it. Just keep it a buck. I don't think he has it. And honestly, I'm one of those people that, you know, I'll give somebody a year, I'll give somebody maybe 2 years, 2.5. But then at that point, I know if you got it, if you don't got it. And I don't think he has it. But so what I'm hoping that the Grizzlies front office say, it's okay if we miss a pick. It's okay to say that we're wrong. And I think they need to do that in this case. Like, hey, he can't play. We got another 4 or 5 people that's the same size as him that can do the exact same thing. Let's see what they can do. It's time to move on, my brother.
100%. It's time to move. I mean, you bring it, like you said, you bring it in Lofton that easily can work probably at least 10 through 15 on our roster right now. You know, it's time to move on. Like the dude, he tripped me out because, like, you know, Grizz Twitter, I had to get off Grizz Facebook. That's terrible over there. But Grizz Twitter kind of getting to that point now to where, like, you know, everybody is overreacting. And then he had that one good game. And no, let me take that back. People were saying it's summer league. So they like, cool out. It's okay. Santi, he still got time to develop. When he's playing bad, while other people like myself, probably Skyler, like y'all as well, like, no, that ain't it. Then he has that 22-point game last night, and now they saying, I told you so. If you watch the game, a lot of those were literally just very easy handoffs. Like, the dude don't have a bag at all. His bag is turned inside out, and he looked so lost on the court. Like, he looked like the deer in headlights, and he looked like that last year. Like, my thing with Zaire, he looks nervous, but he knows what he's doing. Santi just don't know what he's doing out there. And it's terrible when you look at his college highlights. Like, I know he was in a, you know, a watered-down league or whatever, but, like, he looked like he was a competent basketball player. He don't look like that in the NBA. So, you know, him and what was the dude we had, Josh rookie year, Guterich? They front office. That's another Guterich move, bro. Like,
That's a name.
That is a name. No, just talking about him, it just made me think of he caught a pass on the break and tried to do a 360 layup.
Right, yesterday.
And Josh Minot just sent that joint into the fifth row. I'm like, bro, what is you doing?
Oh, that was hilarious, man. I was just glad he finally had a good, he had a decent game. Even on, because his defense, I mean, we didn't speak nothing about how bad his defense is. It might defense. Last night he finally did a little something on defense, but man, the folks got him in pick and roll. It was night night. The first couple games, so it was just yeah, Santi, might be a time. Yeah, Zach Kleiman, man, you ain't gonna hit on everybody. You probably missed this one,
and that's hey, okay.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Follow what John Robinson, GM for the Titans, do. When he misses, he couldn't. Trust me. Hey, God, cut bait. But give the last two players, sophomores, Xavier Tillman. What y'all feel about Xavier Tillman? Start with Chris again, versus order with Chris, Skyler, and Trevor.
I mean, you know, technically he's not a sophomore. He's
that's right. Yeah, it's third year.
He's a junior.
Yeah.
He close to graduating. So, I mean, Tillman just in a bad spot, man. He on a team that's got a lot of talent. And I appreciate his just will to want to go out there and work on, you know, stuff. Like, you can always respect a guy like that. And at the end of the day, like, if he is comfortable being here, being an end-of-the-bench rotational player, you know, due to injury and stuff like that, I'm cool with keeping him. I mean, I trust him when he's on the floor. He knows his role. He don't try to play outside his role. And, you know, him having his best friend here or his best man here, you know, I'm cool with having him on the team. Now, if it's, you know, if he's needed to get a better player back in a trade or something like that, I'm not going to be sad if they off, you know, if they off him. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, he's had a great summer league. And if they decide to sit him down for the rest of the summer league, that's fine. Get those minutes to Lofton. Get those minutes, I guess, to Santi, if you just want to figure out what you got for the rest of the summer league, because whenever the deadline is to cut him for the regular season, just let him go. So, there y'all go.
I want to see a Lofton Roddy front court. Just go on here, go with it. I want to see
that. Yeah.
Oh, on Tillman, I think I've seen enough of Tillman as well. Let's just keep giving Kenny Lofton those minutes, and I'm cool with it. I keep it simple and short like that. Tillman is just like, I don't know what to think of him. I mean, it's like there's some games I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's the Tillman I'm looking for. And then it's games where I'm like, damn, I see he's on the floor, but is he on the floor type thing? So, to what Chris said, I mean, if he's like a piece that's like, if you're making a trade and Xavier Tillman's part, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm fine with that. But I don't think like he has to like necessarily keep a roster spot as long as Kenneth Lofton keeps the ball like the way he is.
That's true. I'll be the optimistic one here, but I think Xavier Tillman does have some kind of value here with the Grizzlies. I mean, he has shown some bright sides during the season and even in summer league. So it's just a matter of who's going to be on the court with him. And I think he kind of got the short end of the stick last season because he wasn't getting a lot of minutes due to the injuries and things of that nature. And two, in the playoffs, he became virtually unplayable, which also hurt his stock too. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Grizzlies decide to move on from him, probably could use him as a trade piece to probably try to upgrade at that spot and go more in the direction of Kenny Lofton. But I think it's some value there. I think he has a spot in the rotation. It's just, to Skylar's point, when he's on the floor, I need to know that you're on the floor. Like, you need to do something to let me know that you're on the floor. And that's the tough thing with Tillman right now. So,
hey. Yeah, he hasn't dominated like you expect a third-year player to do. I just think, like, kind of like Chris said, he's kind of like that player how he was this season. Like, some players go down, he can come in. Steven Adams unplayable in the series, he can come in, right? He's like that type of utility piece. Kind of hoping he don't end up like we saw old former Grizzly Bruno Caboclo in the summer league, ninth year. You know, he was 2 years away from me, 2 years away. Then now, 9 years later, he's still in the summer league, you know. end up down that road, but you know.
Oh, man, that's tough, man. I mean,
I saw that might come out in the game.
At this point, you just got to go overseas or something. I mean,
But this is my question about Bruno, though. We all Grizzly fans, so we watch a lot of Grizzly basketball. that year that he came in before Ja was here, like the end of the season, I think he got those when all the players was down and we brought him in. Like, dude was, to me, he was pretty good.
He was nice. Yeah, he was nice when he was here. Yeah,
he was. I agree. They was playing him as a wing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what happened over the summer and Jenkins ended up putting him as a center. Like, I feel like that killed his confidence and killed the little, you know, steamroll that he had going. Because after that, we ain't heard nothing about him. But dude was a good player for that little 2-3 months that we had him.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you remember Marshawn Brooks was good those little 2-3 months too. So we had a couple players like that. But yeah, man, move on to the last. The player that we all was waiting to see in summer league, Ziaire Williams. How have y'all felt with him and his role that they've put him in on the ball?
I see what they were doing. I get what they were trying to do. And it's okay to say, you know, we want him to follow the same path as Desmond Bane did in terms of, so as you said, Sharky, putting him more on the ball, getting him comfortable with that because, you know, they may want him to make, you know, to set other players up. That's cool. But enough is enough. To me personally, that's not what I want to see from Ziaire Williams. I want to see him make open shots. I want to see him defend. That's really all I need him to do. And rebound and do the small things that I know he can do. That's all I need him to do. I don't foresee at any point Ziaire Williams running offensive sets with John Morant potentially being able to do that, Tyus Jones being able to do that, Desmond Bane being able to do that. Between those three, Ziaire Williams don't need to be point or setting up players that often, in my opinion, personally. Get him off the ball. Let's allow other people to play point guard. Let's allow a lot of people to set him up. I want to see him, you know, I've seen him make some threes. I've seen that. He's not as big as I probably thought he would be, which means he's probably going to naturally always be that size. So hopefully he can continue to get stronger in that aspect. But outside of him setting players up and running offense, I like what I've seen from Ziaire Williams.
Yeah, it's not really much to say about Ziaire at this point. I'm going to chalk this up to the coaching staff and just wanting to see what he can do with the ball in his hands as far as initiating the offense. And it had got to a point where it's been like cringe just to watch. Like, it's every time you look up, Ziaire is either fumbling the ball or he's turning over or he's falling or something of that nature. I mean, I'm okay if you're going to put the ball in his hands, but put him in position to where if the ball is going to be in his hands, he can actually make a move. Like, if he's going to have the ball in his hands, he needs to be doing something with it. Either he's take a couple dribbles. If he has the lane, he's going to drive to the lane. He's going to shoot a mid-range. If he doesn't have it, pass to keep the offense moving. We know he can catch it. We know he's decent in catching and shoot. We know he's decent in the open floor. And we know he's a pretty decent defender. So, as far as evolving his game, just put him in positions where he can actually make moves. Like, don't just put the ball in his hands and say, here, run the offense. And you've seen time and time again that that's just not the case. But aside from that, everything looks good. Everything he seems to be on schedule. But, again, he's not going to have the ball in his hands a lot. We just need you to knock down the open shot, score on the fast break in the open floor, and then just play defense. That's really all we're going to be asking from Ziaire.
Yeah, you know, it's one of them things, like you said, the experiment should be over. I mean, if they want to ride it out, however many games we got left, cool. But I think the best case scenario for him is for the rest of the offseason, just work on catch the ball, maybe 4 to 5 dribbles out of a pick and roll or some type of set, and get ready for your shot. Whether it be a mid-range, whether it be to go attack the rim, or like y'all said, you know, getting open for three and playing defense. And that's okay. Like, if you want to, it looks like it's a confidence thing for me. Like, it's just the dribble just kind of broke all the time. It's never tight. And, you know, I know it's not fair to compare, like, his that step that Bane took to him, because Bane played with the ball a lot in college. He was a four-year player, right? Like, it's just not really fair to compare that, you know, if we're being fair. But at the same time, like, you would love to see him add that to his game. But going back to what Skylar said, it's really not needed if you already got a Ja, Tyus, and a Bane. So just do what you're good at, bro. bring that to the table, and I'll be okay.
It's funny because he had the ball a lot in his hands at Stanford, but even then, what's already working for you, man, you only need to fix it. Like,
right.
He's good as a catch-and-shoot guy. He's good as a defensive player. And, again, he can score on the open floor. You don't need to try to make him this shot-creating genius. So,
exactly. You got plenty of them. You still got, like I said, we still even got Dylan Brooks on the roster. So until Dylan Brooks off the roster, yeah. what is Zaire got the ball in his hands for? You got Dylan Brooks, you got Ja, you got Bang, you got Ty. I think people, and I had to, like, you know, I made sure not to compare him to Bang. And I think a lot of people had in their mind, I remember when they put Bang in point guard last year, hey, Zaire going to do the same thing. Like, no, they're two different players. They're not the same. Don't compare it. Zaire is his own guy. He's going to have his own trajectory. So thinking of it from that lens, to me, outside of him playmaking, kind of like what Trevor said, he's looked really good. I mean, like in other spots, catch and shoot, even like the one dribble pull-up, like he's shown some like flashes on some things that I think he needed to work on, mid-range game. And I think he's gotten better, getting to the free throw line. Like even just little things like that, he's done better. So helping folks on that. I understand some league is the thing to try these things out, so I have no problem with them experimenting with him on the ball, because you know, some league, winning some league championships don't get that don't matter. Although it was fun to win the championship with Brandon Clark rookie year and Josh rookie year, but he didn't play. So, man, that's the time for it. One last question to end off the show. Opening, Jaren Jackson is out 4 to 6 months. That means more than likely, opening night, he's out. Who's the starting power forward? If the roster remains the same and no trades happen, they run with who they got. Who's the starting power forward opening night?
Put Brandon Clark in that thing for me.
It should be Jalen Revia, but it'll be Brandon Clark.
With Big Steve.
I'm going to say, just to be devil's advocate, I would love to see Kendall Lofton start.
I would love to see it.
Hey, that would be amazing.
Chris said, "Give my man minutes yesterday."
Give him 5 minutes. Look at him. Let's go.
I said, "Give my man minutes yesterday." Right. He'll be in shape. He'll be ready to go. 36, 38 minutes. Chris said, "Give him to him now."
Let's go. Let's go.
You know what? It'd probably be Brandon Clark, but that lineup with him and Steve Adams on the court together has been terrible.
That's why I say it should be Jake LaRavia, but it's right. Going to be Brandon Clark.
And, you know, Jake LaRavia is a rookie, so I can see them not wanting to do that. I'm going to go with random, very random, somewhat Zaire Williams, but Dylan Brooks would be like the four, and Zaire would be the three, pretty much. They're going to just plug Zaire, Dylan, Bang,
John. They kind of appreciate Mitch on the wing now, so, I mean – I can see it, but
I got a question for y'all. This is my conspiracy theory. I want to get y'all thoughts on this before we get out of here, right?
All right.
So I feel like at the end of the season, that whole – I've been saying this since it happened, and I've seen somebody else talk about it. Matter of fact, I think Chris Vernon talked about it last week. But I said this as soon as it happened. I feel like at the end of the season, they told Dylan something in those exit interviews or those exit meetings that he did not like, that he wasn't too keen to. And I personally feel like it was, hey, bro, for us to be competitive, for us to actually go win a championship, you're going to have to be the sixth man. What's y'all thoughts on that? I know we've always probably, the whole Grizz Nation has always said that's his best role for us.
Yeah.
But what would you know, what's y'all thoughts on that?
I think if Jaren Jackson being out hurts it, but that's exactly what we all wanted since the bubble. Like, that's what we all said during that bubble. It was like, six man going forward, perfect role for him. He can jack up the men shots he wants off the bench, and he can get buckets at time. And that'd be perfect for him. I don't know how likely it would be to start the season with Jaren being out, though.
I'm not sure if they had that particular conversation with him, but I will say they probably said something to that liking in terms of maybe you need to cut back on your shot selection or your shot attempts. But I did think that they said something to him that he probably did not like, which is why it seemed a little off with him, between him and Ja, but between him and other players on the team over the past few weeks, a few months. Now, he has shown up in some league. He has, for the most part, interacted with everybody. But Chris, I think you're onto something in terms of they had a conversation with him. I'm not sure what the conversation was like, what was talked about, but they probably said something to him that he probably did not like or did not want to hear. And maybe being the sixth man is that thing. And he may not want to do it, but dang it, figure it out, because what he did in the playoffs still haunts me to this day. So I don't know.
Before Trevor go, as the resident Dylan Brooks Allen fan over here, why it take them 3 years to say something? Yeah, that's my thing. Because I've been doing this since I went to the opening night game, Josh rookie year against Chicago, and he blew that game pretty much. Dylan pretty much blew that game, and I was like frustrated. And for 3 years, you tell me it took him 3 years to finally say something to him.
I mean, I'm with you, Chris, on this whole thing with this conversation they had with Dylan, because I was one of the guys that even advocated for it in the bubble, and I did a complete 180 because he actually had a better season the following year. But I do think for the Grizzlies moving forward, he's going to have to cut back on his shot selection. I really do believe that. And I think there's more so along the lines where he needs to start acting like a vet for the most part, because believe it or not, he's going into year six. He's the longest senior Grizzly here. So he went through the tail end of the grit and grind era and then the start of this era. And when this era started, he was in his third or fourth season. So he still was not trying to make an excuse for him, but he still was just trying to kind of find his way in his new regime with Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman. So I think going forward, he's going to have to buy in into a little lesser role, because I always said catch and shoot Dylan is the best Dylan when he's playing within the floor of the offense. Like he can be effective, but when he's out there trying to play like he's back at Oregon, that's a whole different story. So the sixth man thing, I would not be surprised if that was what he got hit with. I would be open to it, to be honest with you, if that helps for the betterment of the Grizzlies. But with Jaren being out right now, he's definitely going to be in the starting lineup. But I do think going forward, he's going to actually buy into his role. Like, bro, you don't need to do so much for the team. We just need you to defend, make your open shots, and keep things moving. Like, we need you to be a veteran, basically, at this point. I think that's what that conversation that they had.
Agree. And I'm hoping in a perfect world, like, he performs to the level of, like, he tells the – like, he makes the Grizzlies run off and say, like, trade me. Like, I hope he gets it. Like, I hope he's playing really, really well. Like, no, y'all don't need to trade me. Like, actually, you need to extend me type thing. Sorry for Miss Eva. But I'm hoping that's what happens. I'm hoping he just, like, he balls out to what Trevor just said. Like, he becomes a vet that they're looking for. And he just gets to a point where, like, he's actually, like, he's balling out. We may even have to forget, like, Jaren Jackson Jr. is out. And then when he gets back in, he continues to thrive within the offense. And then everybody does well in their role.
Yep, for sure. I could definitely see a scenario where Dylan still remains on his roster if he can buy into. If they finally told him, like Chris said, that he needed to play a different type of role and he actually buys into it. And it could all work out as long as the price is right, of course. Now that price can get a little
cheap. I think a deal is going to be made, though. I think Dylan is probably going to be out of here at some point, because you don't pretty much sign all the rookies you sign to the deals that you sign them and not expect the move to be done in some shape or form or fashion. And I think with Dylan Brooks's deal expiring at the end of this upcoming season, don't be surprised if Dylan is moved out of here either before the start of the season or at the trading deadline, just to keep it a buck.
And potentially Brandon Clark,
who they didn't sign to an extension. Yep, that's true.
And that's what they're waiting on. They might be waiting on a deal potentially. So we'll see. But man, it does it for the show. Chris, appreciate you coming on. Been a long time. And tell the people where they can follow you at.
Man, it was a pleasure, bro. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Critman. That was a nickname given to me at Wooddale when I left Southwind from my guys here. You CHRIMAN_ on Twitter. Like I said, I'm a contributor at the Grizzly, and we got a lot of stuff coming out this summer in regards to pieces and podcasts, stuff like that over there. So yeah, tap in with me. But like I said, I've been a fan of y'all. I tap in every single week for what y'all doing. Proud of what y'all doing. Congratulations. I know it's been over a year of y'all being with GBB, but you know, congratulations on that. And just ready to see, you know, what's next for y'all for real.
Real, man. Thank you for, like I said, thank you for everything. Thank you for coming on. As y'all heard, man, he's a good follow. Please follow him. Follow everything they got going on Grizz Lead. Heard him on podcast as well. Y'all have done really good work over there as well. But y'all already know, y'all can follow us on Twitter at the starting five, number five, MEM. Follow the Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies and check out the articles at grizzlybearblues.com. You also listen to other podcasts on the network, the GBB Live Podcast. And to next time, as long as I hope Scout still has his has headphones at this point, but y'all can follow me at the one underscore P Shark.
I'm at underscore Scott Lee on Twitter.
Okay. I'm at the Art of Trevor. If I'm not at Dillabrooks Island, you can catch me sitting next to T Morant.
Hey, that's a sight. I wish I could see. I mean, I can pay some money and just sit next to him.
I swear.
But y'all know y'all can follow the other two members at Tell Shakira and It's Really Sheedy. And until next time, y'all, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.